Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Pastors Rod and Val are in South Africa. They are doing ministry. They're seeing family that they haven't been able to see for the last couple of years, mourning because of the loss of some loved ones that have happened while they've been gone. So we just bless them, Father God. We just pray a hedge of protection over them. We thank you for their leadership, and we thank you that you have empowered this church to continue on even when they are out and about spreading your word. So today, we have Denise Stain.
Yep.
So I've argued with Pastor Rod about how to pronounce it. He says Stein. Apparently in South Africa, it's Stein.
No, in South Africa, it's Stain.
Oh, it's Stain in South Africa. In America, it's Stein.
Yeah.
So you could call her and Fred whatever you want. It's up to you. But we appreciate you. Thank you for coming up. You and Fred have already blessed us so much with the worship, but now we get to be blessed through the word. So,
thank you.
You don't need this, huh?
Nope. I think I'm seriously wired up here this morning with this on this one and this on this side. Be very careful. I'm just going to put this over here. Well, we have now lived here for 2 weeks and 2 days, and we are acclimating to your incredibly friendly wildlife. Someone said the people are really friendly. The nature in Florida is the wildlife in Florida is not as friendly. We've been introduced to no-see-ums, which we haven't seen yet, but we know that they've been there. And we went running this last week. We kind of having to get used to the humidity. We went for a run, and at about 3 miles, I feel like I'm literally gonna die. I'm like, God, did you lead us out here to kill us? Because I can't breathe with all this humidity. I mean, we came from humidity in Chicago and South Africa. The coastal town that we stayed in was a little more dry. But I see the crows, like around 3 miles, the crows start circling. Like, the law's not done with me yet. You can calm down. But yeah, it's been good. And it is such an honor to be here this morning and to be sharing with you. And I was only supposed to preach on the 19th, but here I am today. And when I was asked to switch, well, it was put to me, would you be willing to switch? And Fred said, well, this does not catch the Holy Spirit by surprise. So he's already got a word lined up. And so I said, well, that's the Lord's problem. Then he's got to tell me what I'm going to say. So he's so faithful. He always gives us what we need in due season. So yeah, it is an honor. And I want to honor Rod and Val and just the eldership here. It is a privilege to be sharing the word with you this morning. I don't take it lightly. And yeah, so in just preparing, just before I even felt what the Lord had on my heart, I just had this scripture so deeply inside my spirit. And I actually want to share it with all of you to start with, because God has called each one of us to do this. This is not just for those who get to stand up here and share the word. We all go out into the community and share God's word. And it's this is where we get filled up and just encouraged for the week ahead. But actually, it's each one of us who go off into the different corners of society. And so I want to encourage you today. And this encouraged me as I brought the word today as well. It's in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. And each one of us is here today planted as oaks of his righteousness. And so it was just interesting, just even as we've had the theme this year from fearless and faithful, moving from being fearful and faithless to being fearless and faithful. And so today's message, I have titled it Into the Deep. And I felt like I was kind of thrown into the deep end today, but I'm so grateful that God doesn't let us just stay in the shallows where it's comfortable. He always draws us out into the deep. And so I felt an incredible stirring, even just in our move down here and just being with all of you in this beautiful church and just chatting to to those around here, there is just such a sense that there is the stirring that's happening in the spirit, that God is on the move and he's here amongst us. And I don't want to miss out on that. And I don't want any one of us to miss out on that. And so it's really exciting just to be here and with you and to see what God's going to do. Because I believe we're all here and he's filling us up here so that we can take it out. He fills us up and he sends us out. And I've had this picture of this huge body of water. In fact, just the other night when we were at worship practice, I just saw this huge body of water. And we were all just kind of on the shore and behind. And there was this invitation to come out into the deep. And that's why I just titled it Into the Deep, because I feel like there might be some of us who are still sitting in our cars. And it's like we know there's this invitation and we feel this deep longing inside of our hearts, but we're like, I don't even like sand. Like, you know, people who are like, yeah, I don't know about the beach. You get full of sand and you can't get to the water without going through the sand. And so there's some people who are there in their car and it's really comfortable. You've got the AC going, you've got a nice little drink there, you're comfortable. But God's calling us out of the car. And maybe there's some of us who are sitting on the sand and you're comfortable there and the sun is on you and you can watch the waves. You can see everyone else going and diving into the waves and it's nice to watch them. And you can think, oh, it's good for them. You know, they're enjoying the swim. But God is calling us deeper. And there might be some of us who are kind of playing about in the shallows. And again, we can no longer be satisfied just with standing in the shallows. We've got to go deeper. And it made me think of watching my kids swim. And in Oak Park in Chicago, we lived in an apartment and we had a public pool. Do you call it a public pool? A public pool down the street. And so we would get a pool pass. That was like my kids' dream every year. Can we get a pool pass this year, please? Because then you can go whenever you want to the pool. And so we would go down the street to the pool. And when we started, they'd have those paddle jumpers. They're so clever. They've got those big things around their arms and it keeps them up. And it's a mom's dream because you can go to the pool and you know that even if you can't see them, you know that they are at least buoyant. So at the start of the summer, John, our six-year-old, we've got Jenna, who's nine, and John, who's six. And he was still in his paddle jumper. And so at the start, he was jumping around and they want to stay in the kiddie pool because you feel safe in the kiddie pool. And I even like them in the kiddie pool. I'm like, you can stay where I have some control. And John is quite adventurous. And he said, I don't want this puddle jumper anymore. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. So anyway, Fred was very good. He's always like, he's a boy. You need to let him explore and go for it. So we took the paddle jumper on. And of course, you're watching them. And he comes with us first. And he's in a bit of the deeper water. And he's exploring it. And then the next minute, a week later, he's launching himself off the diving board into the deep. It's like 12 feet deep. And I'm like, oh, I have to watch, but I don't know if I can watch. And it's just amazing to see that freedom. Like once they've been there, they just can't go back. And now if you go to the pool, he's like, I don't want to go to the baby pool. I want to go where it's deep. And he's swimming across the pool. It's just amazing to see that abandonment, which is just so beautiful. But I also know that in us all coming this morning, we all come with a very different experience. Some of us have had a long track record with the Lord, And for myself, I've known the Lord since I gave my heart to the Lord when I was very little. And so I've had a long journey of going through difficult times and having to really lean in and trust him and then seeing him bring me out of that. And for some of you, maybe you're just at the beginning of that journey. And so it can be really hard when someone's standing up here saying, come on, come deeper with the Lord. It's wonderful. And you're just still sitting in your car, really, or you're just still sitting in the sand. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you're feeling that hesitation in your heart, because it's natural, nobody wants to be pushed outside of their comfort zone. But God is drawing us into a deeper relationship with him. And that's what it's really about. We can stay where it's comfortable and where we have the control, we can surrender to the Lord. And I think that sometimes our greatest difficulty in our walk with Jesus is that we really have to let go of trying to hold on to things and control things in our lives and control things around us and people and situations and really trust the Lord and open up our hearts to him and allow him to take us deeper. And so today I wanted to just relate all of this back to the story of the Israelites. And Moses brought them out of Egypt and they had been out for about a week and they'd come across this place where God had directly commanded them to set up camp. It was all very orchestrated by the Lord. And Pharaoh heard that the Israelites had left and very quickly forgot about all those plagues. Now, I don't know, if you had to get a plague of yellow flies in Florida here, can you imagine how horrendous that would be? Or just like walking outside and there's just like 100 million mosquitoes everywhere. And somehow, anyway, Pharaoh forgot about all this that had happened. And he got really angry. And so, yeah, he was going to go after them. And so the Lord had said to Moses, they had set up camp, and he said, in the Exodus 14, verse 4, and you can follow along with me. Once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. This is God speaking. And he will chase after you. I've planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. So there was obedience. God told them to camp there, knowing that Pharaoh was going to come. Like Moses knew, okay, God's going to turn his heart against us and he's going to send him after us. So he knew. And Pharaoh gets mad, as God says he would, and he rounds up 600 chariots and everybody else that he needs, and they start moving after these Israelites. And the Israelites are just sitting back there next to this big body of water. And so the Israelites, who have just come out of slavery, are camped out there. And on the one side, they've got this huge body of water, and on the other side, they have the Egyptians who are closing in on them. And they start freaking out because it's not a pleasant situation. And so in Exodus 14, verse 10 to 14, you can read again with me. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.' But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" And there have been very significant moments in my life where I have felt completely trapped between fear, maybe old thought patterns, things that have completely made me feel just under such bondage, or just held back, chained down, where I've been a slave to certain things and insecurities or things that I've carried. And I've been trapped between that and knowing that there's breakthrough ahead. And it's like you're stuck between the two, and there's this choice and this obedience that we have to make. And there is almost that sense, I've actually said to Fred before, when he said, "Wow, like you need to look fear in the face right now and tell it to go where it came from." But sometimes I want to trust that voice more than I want to trust the Lord's voice. Because once you've been a slave for so long to fear, or a slave to these things that we have in our mind, or just bondages and things that we kind of walk around with, we can get comfortable in slavery because we know it. It's predictable. We know how we feel in certain situations. We know how we think we can control things. And so the same patterns. And Satan, I think he just sets us up early on, because he doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care who your parents were. I have amazing parents. But Satan doesn't care. Whether you grew up in a broken home, or grew up in a home that was whole, Satan will try to get you however he can, because he wants to silence all of us, and he wants to tear us all down. He wants to destroy us. That's what he does. He doesn't love anybody. And so we can get trapped between things that we kind of pick up in life, and just little insecurities or unbelief or whatever it is about ourselves. And you know, in your own heart, the things that you struggle with, we can get trapped there because we want to stay there because we know it. But God is actually calling us out from that today. There's this invitation that he's saying, "You got to trust me." And we can look at this body of water in front of us, and we can see everyone else diving in head first. And you can think, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can actually get myself off the sand and take myself into the water and trust that the Lord is not going to kill me in that water, because it's so hard." And it can be hard to take those first steps when you're walking into breakthrough. And And I believe that there's breakthrough for each one of us. And it's not just the breakthrough of the past and bondages and things that we're walking free from. It's this invitation to more. And there is more for each one of us in the spirit. And so God is calling us out. And there is freedom. And in Galatians 5 verse 1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. I don't have my glasses on. I'm going to read it from my page. I was like, I think I can read it. Nope, I can't. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And I've said that scripture to myself so many times when I've wanted to creep back into fear. When on Monday I was like, I don't even know if I hear the Holy Spirit. Like, can God actually talk to me? Like, you know, you go through all these crazy thoughts in your mind. And I said, nope, I'm not going back to a yoke of slavery. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And so let's not return. Let's take that up, that invitation that Christ has for us. And maybe you have. Maybe you've lived many years with the Lord and he's taken you out of so much and you're in that water. But there's always more. He's always calling us in deeper. And there is action that we need to take as well. And so Moses was crying out to the Lord. And he says in Exodus 14, verse 15 to 16, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. It was almost like he was saying, stop crying out to me now. Now you need to take action. And it's just amazing because Rod has just preached a whole series on Jesus, teach me to pray. And there were so many tools that we can take out of that in how to pray and be connected with the Lord. And it's such a powerful tool. And we can use that as we break free and as we step into more of what God wants for each one of us. We use that tool. And so there is an invitation, and he died for us so that we could be free. And I think each one of us, we need to get like a little holy dissatisfaction inside of our hearts with things that the enemy has allowed. And I know in this season, many of us have lost loved ones, or you have gone through incredible financial strain, or there's been a lot of things, and even just fear that can really grip our hearts and our minds. And Christ came to set us free, and I think we need to stop allowing the enemy to lead us around that cycle and actually break free today. And we can be fearful and faithless, or fearless and faithful. And I know that in each one of our hearts, that is what we are wanting. And so I want to read the rest of the scripture to you. And it's quite long, so we didn't put it up there, but just open up your heart and listen to what happened. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them up into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. And isn't that exactly what the Lord said would happen? Isn't the Lord saying over us today that he who the Son sets free is free indeed? Isn't he saying to us that there is more? That when we invite the Holy Spirit in, when we take that step of obedience, when we choose to step out into the water, doesn't he promise that he'll be with us no matter what? That he never leaves us and he never forsakes us? That he's stirring things up inside of our hearts? And it's not just for ourselves. We can't stay back for ourselves. Stepping out, it's for our children. It's for every generation after you. It is for your neighbor. It's for your work colleague. It's for those kids in school that are with your children. Freedom, when we walk into freedom, it's not just for us. It's like this ripple effect. Have you ever been with someone who has experienced a freedom in their life that you really desire and they walk with you through that? You experience that freedom. You can't help but share it. That it's like this anointing and this an excitement that comes upon us. And so I want to encourage you this morning. And as they had that angel, and I'm sure there were armies of angels that were between them and the Israelites, God is our defender. And I've seen that in my own life. I've seen when I've wanted to retreat and just go, I don't know, I'm not going to, it's comfortable here. And God says, no, like there's more, you've got to come out. When I've taken that step, I've always seen how God has defended me. We can take steps in obedience and he's always there right behind us. He's behind us, he goes before us, and he's all around us. And so I remember swimming in the waves when I was a kid, and we used to go camping in South Africa. We lived in a city called Port Elizabeth. And if we traveled along the garden route, and I know some of you here have been to South Africa, the garden route is beautiful, and there's this place called Plettenberg Bay. And we went since I was 4 months old, apparently. We would go in what we call a caravan. Here, caravan, I think, has a different meaning, but it's like a camper. And it would have this tent that came out, and the kids, I'm the last of four. So I've got my oldest sibling is Mark. He's my oldest brother. Then Susan, who's my sister. Then James. And then there's me. I'm the youngest. So the last one, you go camping when they're 4 months old. You don't go camping when your first child's 4 months old. Usually, I didn't. And so there were these beautiful, when I was older, obviously, there was these beautiful waves. And there was this beautiful mountain called Raaberg. It's still one of my favorite mountains in the world. And every year, we would camp there. And we would always get a front row seat. We would book it like for the next year when we were done in the December. And there were these huge breaker waves that would come in. And I would watch my older siblings. They would like launch their bodies into that water. They would just run. Like my dad would say, the last one in the water is a rotten pig. And we would just go for it. They would run through down the sand into the water and just start diving under the waves. And I would be petrified. These waves are probably quadruple the size of me. And I would look out at the waves, and I wanted to go in, but I was scared. And my dad would always come back, and he'd take my hand, and there was like this petrified exhilaration, that's all I can describe it as, because I felt so safe with my dad, but I was really afraid of just going in deep. I wanted just to stay where I could see my sand toys and my feet and my ankles, and but he would take me and say, no, come with me. So then we'd go in and I could barely stand. And these huge waves would be coming towards us. Like the swell was massive and these waves would come up and he would say, okay, take a breath. And I'd take a breath and then we'd dive right underneath. And I've never in my life felt so powerless, but just so free and just in awe of the power that was around me. And I feel like I actually feel a bit emotional this morning. I feel like that is what God is calling us into. He's tired of seeing us playing in the shallow waves. And those of you who have gone before, I get to stand here today because of what people have done before me, who fought for the Spirit, who fought for the Holy Spirit to be among us and have pressed in and had victory in their lives so that I get to walk in victory. Because when we are free, our kids get to be free and those around us and those spiritually who walk with us. And I really believe that this morning that there's this invitation. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you haven't even invited Jesus into your heart. Maybe you're still just sitting there in your car and you're looking at all this going on and you think, there's this lady like waving in the waves, come. And you're like, nope, not today. Maybe you are feeling such a stirring inside of your heart. And you know in your heart that today something's got to change. And maybe you are. Maybe you are ankle deep, or maybe you're right under. I want you to pray today with me that God would lead us on, that he would lead us into more, that you would experience freedom and breakthrough, because we all need to walk in that. And the enemy, he is prowling around, but we know who we serve. We serve the King above all kings, and he knows us by name, and he's with us, and he's calling us into more. And I really feel that there's just such a stirring. And wherever you are today, God wants you to experience that feeling of both feeling so powerless, which none of us enjoy, but the exhilaration of knowing that I'm surrounded by such a powerful God who knows me, who is with me. He's calling us into the deep. And so I want to invite just Fred and Nancy. There's a song that Fred's going to sing, and it's kind of like the Lord. It is the Lord just singing it over us. And so I want you just to hear that song and to allow it just to minister into your heart. And then I'm going to invite us. I'm going to invite those who feel like they are just on the shallows or in the sand or feeling comfortable. You might be feeling really uncomfortable by now. just to call you out today and to take that stand. And just as Moses, the Lord told him, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to move forward. And you might see that big wave in front of you. And God is calling us to action. And maybe this morning, the only action you need to take is just to stand up and to open up your heart to the Lord. So you can read the words or you can close your eyes and just listen to them. But hear what the Lord, the Father, is saying over you. Allow him to minister to you. And maybe you haven't experienced a father who was kind to you here on earth. But God is the perfect father, and he's here this morning. He wants to set it straight. He wants to show you his heart over you this morning.